Blog Talk Radio.
This goes out to my partner that passed away, Eugene Reckler, Robert Squirrel Lester, Pretty Old John. I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. There were birds, music, everywhere. Some of us play, oh, and some of us cry. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see the tears in my eyes? She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Woo. 10 feet tall. Oh, I was riding so high. What eyes of a child,
eyes of a child,
shine it so bright.
Yes.
They were, come on, y'all.
Cold this day.
There was no other, no, 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 no. Lord, take away the pain.
Take it.
Oh, you know, let it fall like rain.
Take it.
And it couldn't be much worse down below. Thank you. Thank you. You're so beautiful, huh? I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. I tried to keep the past behind me, but she doesn't remind me she's gone. She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Come on, the guns, sir. Everybody sing. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
Oh, this day. No, y'all. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. And I am Beverly Black, the creator of Soul School Music, live on Tribe Family Channel. It is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to be hosting this show with Marshall Thompson. And we are waiting for him to get in the building. This man has been receiving awards. He's on tour, and so we understand how busy he is. So in the meantime, in between time, I want to tell you all about our guest, and I'm going to read her bio because a lot of people aren't into jazz, and a lot of people would not know that the legendary Bobby Humphrey, yes, the legendary Bobby Humphrey, is the first lady of flute. So while we wait for Marshall Thompson to get into the building, let me tell you about Bobby Humphrey and take care of all of this. And before I do that, a little bit of housekeeping. If your line drops, simply call right back and I will see your number in the studio for our guests and our listeners, and I will reconnect you right back into this show. So without further ado, let me tell you a little bit about, well, a lot about our guest while we wait for our co-host and the man of the hour, Mr. Marshall Thompson, the last man standing of the shy light. Bobby Humphrey, First Lady of Flute, and this is from her website, so you can go to her website at bobbyhumphrey.net and read it for yourself, but I wanted to make sure that I captured all of this here on this show, so I'm going to read it for our listeners that are not going to go to the website. Bobby Humphrey, First Lady of Flute. She has been named First Lady of the Flute by the critics and listeners alike, and from the accomplishments in her musical career, deservingly so. For three decades now, Bobby Humphrey has been playing her special brand of music to audiences around the world. Her professional career began in 1971 when she was the first female signed to Blue Note Records, and that is quite an achievement. Certainly a lady playing a flute must have seemed something of a novelty then. Humphrey proved, however, she was not just a first or a novelty, but a talent to be reckoned with. For in 1973, her LP, Blues and Blues, was not only a huge commercial success, but established a strong crossover market for her. Also in 1973, she was invited to the prestigious Montreux International Music Festival in Switzerland, where Leonard Feather, noted critic of the Los Angeles Times, acclaimed her the surprise hit of the festival. Since then, Humphrey has continuously proved her sustaining power. For today, she is the only successful female urban pop flutist on the scene. Further proof is the fact that she was the acclaimed female instrumentalist 1976 and 1978 in both Billboard and Record World, and best female vocalist in Cashbox. This is certainly a milestone for any instrumentalist, and she is definitely holding hers. Born in Marlin, Texas, and raised in Dallas, Humphrey's training on flute began in high school and continued through her years at Texas Southern University and Southern Methodist University. It was there that Dizzy Gillespie spotted her when he served as judge in a school-wide competition. With Gillespie encouraging her to pursue a career in New York City, Humphrey wrote a letter to New York's famed Apollo Theater and received a telegram soon afterwards telling her, "We have reserved a spot for you on amateur night." She didn't take further convincing, nor did she have trouble finding her spot in the music industry. The title of one of her epic LPs, The Good Life, best describes her career. Humphrey has played with the best, ranging from Duke Ellington, Her Third Day in New York, to Lee Morgan, to Stevie Wonder, featured on Songs in the Key of Life LP in 1977. Between 1971 and 76, Bobby recorded 6 albums for Blue Note Records. In 74, she recorded the successful Satin Doll LP. In 77 was another big year for Humphrey. For the third consecutive year, she was voted Best Flutist in Ebony Magazine's Reader's Poll. She was signed to Epic Records. She was invited back to Montreux Music Festival and honored with a Key to New Orleans. It was not only a year of musical growth, but of commercial expansion as well, because in 1977, Humphrey formed Bobby Humphrey Music Company to publish her compositions as well as composers. She also formed Innovative Artist Management to handle her business affairs. Talk about a sister CEO, y'all. Humphrey has also gone to gather numerous awards and citations for her music. These awards have included the Keys to Cities for the United States and congressional appointment to the Community Advisory Committee. Also, the business world has recognized Bobby's talents in that arena. She has received various awards for her business accomplishments and high ethics from the City of New York, Dollars and Cents Magazine, and was featured in the financial section of Billboard magazine. However, Humphrey's longevity on the charts has been her greatest award. Her LP Freestyle was one of the hottest LPs during the summer of 78, and with her LP The Good Life, the summer of 79 was not only good, but hot. The 80s were a period of rapid creative and business expansion and community activism. And we are still waiting for Mr. Marshall Thompson, and so I'm going to continue to expound a bit more about the legendary lady, First Lady of Flute, Bobby Humphrey. Whether it was from the stage of Carnegie Hall or an intimate jazz room in Europe or Atlanta, live performing remains her first love. However, she enjoys composing and producing music jingles for several major corporations such as Halston and Anheuser-Busch, and doing solo work for the television on such shows as The Cosby Show. And by the way, Braxton Cosby was just on our show. Now, I'm getting a text from Marshall Thompson. He says he's had an emergency and he's very, very sorry to disappoint us. And so he sends his love, and we want to send our prayers and love to him for whatever the emergency is that he is going through, because he was certainly excited about this show, and we definitely will do a retake. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to bring on the legendary First Lady of Flute, Bobby Humphrey. How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing great, Beverly. How are you?
I'm blessed, and it's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to have you on Soul School Music. I want to apologize on behalf of Marshall Thompson. I got a text from him saying that he couldn't do it, that he had an emergency, but he says that you are a super act, and he sends much love. And, you know, he's been advertising this show all over social media, as you've seen on his Facebook page, and we've been
That's
all over. Yeah, you know, but
I wish
he, And I'm going to make sure that he knows, and when we get off of the show, I'm going to definitely send him a text and a prayer from all of us. So but he, oh, my goodness, he had me on the phone last night laughing.
Okay. I love Marshall. I send him the best, and I pray for
and
whatever
he loves you
he's
too.
Going through. I love him so much. For many years, we go back, yes.
Wow, wow.
From the days
of well,
the
that's
power.
What I would like to know. Tell, open up with telling us how you and Marshall intersected. Tell us about where you, your
at
earliest
the
remembrance
Apollo Theater,
of Marshall Thompson.
Since the Apollo Theater, I started in 1971 at the amateur show, and I would meet Marshall and Eugene Rickert, God bless his soul, from the Shylight, the Four Tops. It was just a magical time, and music continues to be a magical time, and I've continued my love and respect for Marshall. He's the last man standing from the Shylights, always the consummate professional, and just you can just feel his warmth. I haven't seen him in a while. I can't wait to get to Chicago. I have to tell my agent to plan something, and I'll get a chance to see him. So I'm delighted that I was invited to talk with you guys.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. First and foremost, I want to thank you for all of your legendary contributions to the music industry and just to our lives in general. You know, our work is our ministry, and you have ministered to us with that flute, and I mean, you have done it well. And so you definitely have been so honored as the First Lady of Flute, and that is deservingly so. And now I would like to know some things about you that are not in your bio. So how were you first influenced by music? Like growing up, what type of music did you listen to in the household? Were you involved in music with the church, or how did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Texas. I was introduced to the flute through a classical piece, Peter and the Wolf. We went to the symphony, and the chasing came in. I was about six, and I asked very innocently my teacher, what was that instrument? And she said, that was a flute. And I didn't know what a flute was, and it's almost as if it spoke to me, and I said, I'm going to play that one day. And fast forward to junior high school, beginning of high school, 15, and I formally took up the flute and was later offered a scholarship when I was a senior from Texas Southern University. And that's how it started. So from the age of 15 to 21, by the time I was 21, I came to New York. I was the first female signed to Blue Note Records because I was spotted at a jazz contest by the late Dizzy Gillespie, and he gave me encouragement, and I was already thinking about coming to New York to compete at the amateur show, and that's where I met Stevie Wonder, Shylights, Four Tops, and it was like a publicist's dream. It was the right place to come to. That's how I started.
Wow, wow, wow. And you talk about a success story because, like you said, your journey, your purpose, and what you were going to do spoke to you early. You know, that flute spoke to you, and you answered that calling. And to hear that calling and to know that calling takes a lot of discernment coming from a child. So you have that strong spirit of discernment to have been able to follow your path and to acclaim such success in following that path. So I definitely salute you for following, you know, that prompting in your spirit, knowing that, you know, that instrument spoke to you. You heard the chase, like you said, the chasing came.
Yeah.
and you heard that flute and you had to know. I love the flute. I wish I could play because it is a very, very, it's an alluring instrument. You know, once you hear it, it just takes you. It just, you know,
yes,
brings you
is.
To it. Yeah, so,
it
well, you certainly
soul.
Play it very well.
It speaks
absolutely.
To your soul. And you're right. I've always been very spiritual. I grew up in a very spiritual home. My mother and father went to church every Sunday, and my sisters and brothers. At one time, we all played instruments, so music was an integral and very important source within our home in Texas. I'm on a spiritual journey, wanting and trying every day to fulfill my spiritual assignment. I'm about doing the work that I was sent here to do, and I'm very serious about that because the music business, particularly the record business, there's a lot of ups and downs and pitfalls, but what more importantly is what speaks to my soul. So I as an artist, it's more important to me that I fulfill my assignment and doing what I'm supposed to do, and that is to make music. And I do that every day, whether it's commercial or just playing at home for myself and composing.
All right. Now, how did that feel meeting the great late Dizzy Gillespie?
Oh, that was wonderful. As a matter of fact, it was a collegiate jazz festival, and I had been getting a lot of accolades. People enjoying my music when I was in high school, and then winning the scholarship. And when someone of his stature, he said, "You know, I think in your category, you really should have won." It was for improvisation and soloing. And he said, I truly believe that if you go to a place called New York City, the world will know your name. And I doubt that they will know the guy who they gave the award to. So him as a professional, that sort of lit a fire in my soul. I was planning on going to New York to compete in the amateur show anyway, but meeting someone of his stature. So I tell people, you might be surprised what one word of encouragement can do in any field, but it was his words of encouragement that really lit the fire.
Wow. And that is what it takes. That's what we you know, that's one of the best things that we can do for anyone is to encourage them, be encouraged.
Yeah.
I remember, and it makes a big difference, you know, and that speaks to my spirit because when I went with a friend, her daughter was going to do the America's Got Talent competition, and they were going to be at San Francisco's Cow Palace Brisbane, San Francisco, right there. And I swore up and down that I was just going to sit up in those stands. And as everyone left, you know, and they're crying that they didn't make it, I wasn't saying a word. And lo and behold, I found myself telling everyone leaving, be encouraged, stay encouraged, be encouraged. And God just continued to use me to tell them to be encouraged, mm-hmm. stay encouraged. And it was hundreds of people leaving there crying. And you have to understand mm-hmm. that these contests don't predicate what your future is going to be. And so that was my whole thing about telling them to stay encouraged and to be encouraged, because you're walking out of here and this is just one, you know, grain of sand compared to the, you know, whole scheme of life and the, you know, things uh-huh. that you will attempt to do. And so, but you being a success at the Apollo, tell us about that. You leave New York, or excuse me, you leave Texas. Now, you're mm-hmm. a Texas Southern girl, all right? A Southern Belle, not a Southern Belle, but a Southern girl going to the big city. Yeah. So now, how old were you then, and tell us about that journey?
When I left Dallas, Texas, I started at Texas Southern University. I got a full ride. They offered. They came to the band room, and I auditioned, and they offered me a scholarship to go to school there, which was wonderful. I was in the Ocean of Soul Jazz band and the marching band. But I got a little homesick for my mom and dad, and I went to I decided to transfer to SMU, which was wonderful. I got a full scholarship in terms of journalism. And they had a stage band, and that's where I met Dizzy Gillespie at Southern Methodist University. I was recently in Houston last year, where I received a key to the city and honor at my old alma mater of Texas Southern University. And I hope to be going down there soon. I'm getting excited about going back to Texas.
Yeah, soon. Congratulations. That's awesome. That is awesome. All right, all right. Now, meeting Stevie Wonder and playing on the double album, Songs in the Key of Life, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I originally met Stevie. My mom and dad took me to meet him, and we were fortunate that he invited me backstage in Dallas, Texas. That was when I was very young. We were both very young. We're the same age. We were 15, so it means, you know, we are both, fast forward, we've known each other 50 or 51 years. Stevie is 66 as well as I. I'm getting ready to have a birthday, and thank God I'm going to be 67, and so is he. So I met him at the – he was there – that night, one of the nights, when I kept time with this young lady, and I'm still taller than her, by the name of Stephanie Mills. And Stevie offered to give me a ride home. And Stevie, we laugh at it now. I said, excuse me, Mr. Wonder, but you can't see. How are you going to give me a ride home? And he said, you know, I really like you because you're country than a collard green. And so he said, you forget who I am, right? I said, well, I know you're not little Stevie Wonder anymore. We were both 21, and his driving, of course, gave us a ride home. And we stayed in touch, and fast forward maybe 5 years later, here in 76, and he said he was working on an album, and would I come and grace with the flute. And so he flew me to Los Angeles, and I played on a song, which is a very famous song now, Another Star. And I got a platinum record for that. And as a matter of fact, that's one of his seminal records. They sent that album into space. So I played with him last year here in New York in Central Park. And I've been invited to play on his new project that he's working on.
Oh, wow. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
He's my kid's godfather, so that's one of my closest friends. He's my brother.
Wow. Wow. Exactly. To have grown up from, you know, where you began and to still, you know, have the synergy and the ability to work together and bring your creative forces together, that's a beautiful thing. That's
and
a beautiful thing.
We've gone through births and deaths together. His mom, my mom, he dropped everything and came to Dallas and played at my mom's ceremony. He's saying, I won't complain. And I went
bless
to his mom, his mom's celebration and his wife. I went there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just family.
Right.
And
bless
the
souls bless the souls of your ancestors that have gone on. I know that they are extremely proud and honored to have their legacies continuing through your voices and creative forces. And so bring us to speed. Now, I have someone that I'm going to bring on the line, but I want you to bring us up to date as to what music that you're doing today. I know you sent me the inbox about your latest LP, and I did go to iTunes, but I want you to tell our audience about it because you're promoting this wonderful new music now.
Well, I've re-released, well, not it never went anywhere, but in the industry, you have what you call masters, and mm-hmm. I'm having a love affair. I did this in the 90s called Passion Flute. Everyone, you can get Passion Flute on iTunes, or they can go to BobbyHumphrey.net to get a tactile, you know, a physical copy of it. But that is mm-hmm. one of the only albums that I own. I've grown so much in business because I was with most of the major labels. I did not like the creative accounting. I took the reins of my own career. I'm working on my first gospel record. It's going to be called The Gospel Flute, a whole series and I'm going to do a series of jazz albums. And what I'm doing mm-hmm. now, I'm doing a lot of live entertaining. We had two sold-out shows here in New York at a club called Jenny's Supper Club at the Red Rooster, very popular. And we're mm-hmm. taking it one day at a time, and I have a lot of creative projects. Besides the music, I also write jingles, as well as I'm working on two books of my own, my memoirs as well as my affirmations. I put a lot of affirmations, positive affirmations. I just wake up and I write what God tells me to write.
Wow.
That's a book of my photography and affirmations that will be coming out shortly.
Wow. You know what? Congratulations. From one soul sister CEO to another, you are owning your creativity, and to have your masters and to bring forth this new LP, you know, that's phenomenal. Like you said, that your works haven't gone anywhere, but we do have, you know, as writers, I'm a writer, I'm a publisher, I just released my memoirs. And if you've ever heard of Gumbo for the Soul Publications, that would be me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the creator of Gumbo
All
for
right.
the Soul International. Yes, Cynthia St. James is my... Yes, Cynthia St. James, thank you. She's my book cover artist. Tavis Smiley has endorsed Gumbo for the Soul. Bruce George, the creator of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam, the founder of Genius is Common. And also, you know, just various individuals have, you know, hundreds of individuals, rather, have contributed to the anthologies. So I want to salute mm-hmm. you on all of your work, and definitely want to stay in touch with you if you need anything as far as the publishing and your memoirs. Definitely want to, you know, be there to assist you with that. Now, I want to bring on a man, and he will tell you who he is himself. That way it could be a real surprise, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, hang on one second. Let me open up the line. This voice that you will hear now is the sponsor of Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. Sponsor, are you there?
Hey, greetings. How are you? How's everybody?
Hello.
I'm blessed. Meet Bobby Humphrey. You already know her, but tell her who you are.
Hey, Bobby. This is Bruce George, co-founder of Russell Simmons.
Hey,
Bruce. Jen. Hey,
my
how are you
buddy,
doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
Cool.
How are you?
I'm truly blessed. It's good to have you on the show. And, Bev, thanks for inviting me on the show. I'll drop everything to make sure that I can embrace you, sis, because you're amazing. One of my favorite is Harlem River Drive, just so you know. Just as an aside.
Thank
you.
I just came from New York.
You know, Harlem River Drive, so you already know. And but I had the opportunity to listen to, you know, the segment about how you and Stevie Wonder, how you embraced each other's, you know, parents that have gone on a transition and stuff like that. And, I mean, that's what friendship is all about. you know?
Yes, it is.
And,
it is.
And, you know, it's not how long you live, it's how well you live, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, and I'm sure that your mom and Stevie's mom and his wife, you know, live well, you know, and impacted
yes.
people. And the thing about it is you are your mom all over again. And, you know, every time you play the flute, you know,
mm-hmm.
she is coming right out of it. You feel me?
Yes.
And,
yes.
and so I really salute you in terms of being the first lady of the flutist, because that's a male-dominated instrument, as you already know. And
so
my question to you is, how was that breaking into that? How rough was that breaking into being a female flutist? How challenging was that for you?
Well, fortunate for me, I decided to come to New York with all of the, I guess, Texas bravado that that entails. And I was blessed with the naivety of youth. The thought of failure
wow.
never entered my mind. I said, I'm
wow.
going to New York. And I said exactly when I walked in the office, when I just walked in, I didn't have an appointment. And I went up to the fourth floor, and I said, I'd like to talk to somebody. In hindsight,
mm-hmm.
sort of funny now. I said, yes, I came to make a record. I said it just like that. And the young
mm-hmm.
lady,
mm-hmm.
her name is Carol Campbell. She's since become a good friend. And she said, well, do you have an appointment or anything? I said, no, but I have my 8-track. And she said, well, if you don't have an appointment with Dr. George Butler, you can't see him. He was the producer
mm-hmm.
at the time, Blue Note. And she said, I look so sad and disappointed. She said, I'm going to put it on his desk. And that's how that happened. And so
wow.
I got back to the Simmons House for Women. That's where I was staying at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He called, and he said, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Are you playing on this tape? I said, yes. And he said, two, do you want to make a record? I said, of course. That's why I came all the way to
wow.
New York. And
wow.
he said, three, when the wolves come after you, tell them George Butler has you. And that's how it happened.
Wow, that is amazing. And for you to really live a purpose-driven life, you know, to be able to tell people what it's like to do what you love, you know, and, you know, just all of the amazing artists that you've met and rubbed elbows with, you know, I mean, that's priceless. You know, that is
yes,
definitely
please.
Priceless. And it's just one thing that I've listened to various different flutists and different people, but you have a very unique way of the way you play the instrument. And is it something, I know everybody wants culture plus experience equals one's frame of reference, but do you get like a special cap? I don't know what you call it. Is it something
a
special
motivator?
Or something on the horn?
Motivate, and I spiritual realm, I've been told I have a unique tone,
very
a
much
distinct
so. Very
tone.
Much so.
And I just, sometimes when I go in a solo, I really just go another place. It's
okay.
It's not a joke for me. It's very spiritual. It's
absolutely,
a different realm.
Because it reminds me of Pharoah Sanders. How Pharoah Sanders, when he plays, you automatically know that it's Pharoah Sanders.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
when
I love his recording.
I hear your flute, you can automatically know that it's Bobby Humphrey.
Yes.
Right? And very few artists have that type of signature in their play, and that's what makes masterpieces, and that's what makes, you know, people that are genius in what they do, you know. And so I really salute you that you have reached a point where you have a signature way of playing through the flute.
Yeah.
You know,
I just try to stay natural, and
nice.
I stay humble and obedient.
Right.
I give all praises to the Creator. I'm not
Absolutely.
Really a religious person, but I'm a very spiritual person.
I got
I'm
you. And that's
amen
to
that.
Amen.
Emanated from a point of love, and God
right.
gave me this talent. So I
okay.
try to use it wisely and respectfully and encouragingly
Great.
Because
Great. Well, I want to thank you for sharing this time with me, and Bev, thanks for allowing me to cut in your time, because I know you're having a ball right now.
You know, I love to sit back and listen. He knows I love it. I love Bobby Humphrey. I'm telling you, I love to sit back and let the gems drop and let the magic happen and listen to the conversations.
Yeah.
And I really love your point of references and questions for her, Bruce. I kind of cut in when you, Bruce was asking you, Bobby, if you had a certain cap. And I said motivation, but I think he means, you know how Wynton Marsalis has that cap that he uses on that trumpet
sometimes?
Yeah,
they put it on the instrument. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean the muted thing on his trumpet?
Exactly, And do you have like a certain piece that goes on it?
I electrify my flute in live performance.
Oh, okay.
But when I'm playing by myself, it's acoustic.
Okay, got you.
Yeah, I just play. I was on my park. We have a park in my building, and I enjoyed playing today. It was really nice.
Nice.
Well, now,
nice.
Before you both hang up, let me connect Mr. Marshall Thompson. And you know what?
In keeping in
the rhythm and the flow of Soul School Music, we're going to bring him in just like we normally do. So check this out.
Okay.
This legendary supergroup formed in the late 50s as two separate groups, the Chanteurs and the Desideros, joined forces in the early 60s to become Marshall and the Highlights. In 1964, they changed their name in tribute to their hometown, Chicago, and became the Shylights. The hits started coming in 1971 and 1972 with Have You Seen Her and Old Girl, each selling over 1 million copies. In 2000, they were inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Foundation, in 2005, the Vocal Group Hall of Fame, and in 2013, the R&B Music Hall of Fame. Their music has been heard around the world, as well as movies. In 1996, they appeared in Original Gangsters, Only the Strong Survive in 2002, and recently, the movie trailer for the Disney picture Finding Dory. They continue to wow audiences worldwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music, the recent recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award, the last man standing of the Shylights, Mr. Marshall Thompson. What's happening, my brother?
I was saying as well, a pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you all. I'm very glad I could get here. It was
What's
a little
going on,
shaky
sir?
At first trying to get here, but I'm here.
Good to hear from you.
You got the great talent on the phone, so I had to get in here some kind of way. But if it wasn't for 2 minutes, I had to say hello
How you doing,
to
buddy?
My good friend. How you doing there,
How
young
you doing,
lady?
Buddy?
You're the superstar.
I miss you, and I miss Chicago. I miss you, and I miss
Chicago. Yeah, you know I miss you. Well, you know.
I love you, Marshall.
I love you, too, and everybody in Chicago love you, and all across the world love you. I've been knowing you so many years, it's crazy.
Yes. God is so good. It's so good hearing your voice, love.
But I had to get here. I mean, I had an emergency, but my heart told me, and God spoke to me and said, don't do this. You can't do this to a superstar. Call in and say hello to him.
Oh, I would understand. I'm just wishing you well, and that God takes care of whatever is going on.
Well, you put God first. You put God first, and he'll take care of it anyway, and that's what he just did.
Wanting you to take care of it.
He give you the strength to talk and everything.
Yes, he will.
Absolutely.
All praises.
So how you been doing in your career? Are you a superstar? I know you've been all over everywhere. Tell me something about
what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. I was in Tokyo a number of times and just enjoying. I'm enjoying the ride now in terms of I'm writing a lot more. And we just had 2 sold-out shows here in New York. I've been offered a residency at one of the top clubs in Harlem called Jenny's. And getting ready to go to Atlanta, hopefully this summer. I'm running my companies. It's challenging. A lot of times you have to let people know or remind them who you are in terms of business, that you are serious. You are a businesswoman and not a business woman. I've been addressing a number of issues have come up in terms of sampling, and that is going to be adjudicated, and we will prevail, and we can all be happy, okay?
Well, the main thing, if you know, I'm the godfather of vocal groups, and you know, if you have any problems getting any money out your sampling, all you got to do is call me. We'll take care of that.
All right. I appreciate that. Amen to that. Now, Bruce George had to go, but Marshall Thompson, he wanted to give you his love and prayers over the emergency.
Yes.
He and Bobby Humphrey just had a wonderful call, and Bobby Humphrey is going to give us her Genius is Common video soon. And we also have Marshall Thompson's Genius is Common video and Tyra Thompson's. So, on behalf of Genius is Common, we want to thank Bruce George for sponsoring Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. And Marshall Thompson, tell us. Now, Bobby told us when she first met you, you know, she was a young girl. She came up to New York to the Apollo Theater. Now, what was
That's
your
right.
first impression when you saw Bobby Humphrey?
Well, when I first seen her act, first started hearing her product, I knew she was going to be a superstar. You know, from there, and she was. She was back there when Reagan and Brown and you had Unifix and all of them was up there with us. And I remember her coming up there then and hearing her doing what she had to do. And here she is today, and she's doing her thing. And she's hanging in there. And I like the words, what she was saying about the business, because a lot of people don't really know about this business. You know, they think they know about this business. You only can be in this business if you're in this business. If you're not really in it, you don't know what's going on. Everything is all shining glass and that. But when you get out here for real, then you say, wow, okay, this is the real deal now. See?
Right.
And once you find out
the
real deal, once you find out the real deal, it changes. I've been doing it 58 years. So, you know, I've been through all kind of ways, you know, all kind of ways.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Godfather. Congratulations. Bobby Humphrey, you know this man just received the Lifetime Achievement Award. He was just at Atlantic City at Harrah's, and I want to thank you, Marshall, for allowing my book type, my interior designer for my books, and he's also a photographer, Stacy, and his lady friend was able to make the show on behalf of you, Marshall, and Tyra Thompson. So I really want to thank you for that. Now, Bobby Humphrey, tell us, we're going to go out playing Harlem River Drive, Satin Doll, and Black and Blues. Tell us, respectively, what inspired these compositions. Well, certainly, Satin Doll, that was Duke Ellington, Billy Strayhorn. I was inspired to do that song because Duke Ellington was the first person that I played with. He allowed me to sit in with him the third day I was here. And fast forward a couple years later, and I had my first child, who's my Satin Doll. So I've had a penchant for marketing and concepts. So I said, I will do this album, and I'm going to name it, and, you know, celebration of him and his life, Satin Doll, and I'll put my daughter on. It's a very iconic cover. The baby picture made her my Satin Doll album, and that was very popular on that particular record label.
Indeed, indeed it was. Such a beautiful baby in Satin Doll at that. And we embraced that album. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, my goodness. So that was sort of like my introduction to Bobby Humphrey, and I've been a fan ever since. Now, Harlem River Drive. You know, Bruce George was born in Harlem, raised in the Bronx, and he's in Brooklyn now. He described himself as being New York to the bone. And so describe Harlem River Drive for us.
Well, that's a very integral, busy highway that runs through Harlem. And you know what? That's one of my biggest songs. But I still don't know how to drive, and we have so much fun doing that. It's a lively talking about the urban experience and the stadium. It's just a very upbeat tune that people have embraced around the world that I redid it on my Passion Flute album, and I even did a video, Harlem River Drive update. So that's what you call my signature piece. And there's been some talk about giving me a part of that street name and in my honor, because that song, I mean, I did in 1973, so over 40-something years. So it would be a great honor.
Harlem River Drive on the map, basically. They put it on the street, but you put it on the map, right?
Oh, you're so kind. You're so kind. I really enjoyed that song, and that's why I did a video to it.
Great, great, great. And then last but certainly not least, Black and Blues. Now, I read on the bio, Blues and Blues. Did I make a mistake?
Yeah, it's Blacks and Blues. I guess.
Oh,
I see. I was very young when I did that, and I had great producers, the Mizells. And I did that song, and it just talks about the energy. You got to go for it. We're Black, and we oftentimes we know a lot about the blues. So it's bringing the blues into the element of jazz. So we came up with the title Black and Blues. But that was my improvisation. I played all the way through off the top of my head. Yes.
Oh,
Black and Blues.
You are no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, God has been good.
I had asked Marshall, I said, Marshall, which songs do you want? He said all of them. And he knows that we're only on for an hour. So those were the selections that we came up with. Now, Bobby, where are you going to be? Let Marshall and I, blast this out on our airwaves. Where is your next appearance? And I know people can go to Bobby Humphrey, B-O-B-B-I. humphrey.net and find out all about you. But where are you next?
I'll probably be back at my Harlem home, Jenny's Supper Club. Right now we're talking about May the 12th because it's important for me to continuously write my memoirs, so I'm not on the road as much because I'm doing that and composing new music. But May the 12th, look for me up in Harlem again. And I've been asked to come back to Tokyo. I enjoy traveling a lot. And I'm doing a private engagement in Texas outside of Houston. A friend of mine has a mansion there. So we're just having a lot of fun with the music. But look for me May the 12th in Harlem at Jenny's Supper Club.
Wow. And now, Marshall Thompson, you and the Shy Lights are on tour. We know that you are the last man standing of the Shy Lights. You continue to keep that light and that torch lit. And where can our audience find our man of soul school music coming up next? I know the...
Well, of course, you know, Mother's Day weekend, we are in Florida, right outside of Miami, Florida. I think Marriott, Florida. The Shy Lights show along with the Manhattans, and I have Cuba Gooding, the main ingredients, on the open up a show for us, and it's going to be a great affair. You know, then we come back with Frankie Beverly and Maze and the Shy Lights right at the Horseshoe Casino.
Oh, that's going
to
be nice.
See, I'm going to have to give me some freaking flyer miles to come chase y'all. Doesn't that sound like fun, Bobby? That sounds like a plan.
Yes, it does.
Well, Ms. Bobby Humphrey, it was an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to have you on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. I am delighted to, to have both of your voices come together, although you have known each other for so many years. But it's always
many,
an honor when people reconnect. Yes. And he was so happy to hear that you were going to be on his show. He said, that's my girl. And all the while, you know, you both have been sending each other so much love through me. She has been loving on you. You have been loving on her. So you are just like, it is natural. You know, you really have that brotherly love, that, you know,
genuine.
That agape love. Yes, it's genuine.
Yes, Lord.
And so do you have any words
wait
you want to say
Chicago.
To each other?
I love you, Marshall. I love you always.
Love you too. Love you too, Bobby. You know, wait.
And
when you coming
wait
back
to see you.
Well, when you coming
to Chicago? Y'all got to bring me to Chicago. All my hits, and y'all got a couple clubs.
You want to play the horseshoe?
Y'all got a couple clubs that I want to play.
Do you want to play the horseshoe in Chicago?
I've never been there. Hook it up for me.
Okay, I'll hook that up for you.
Hook it up for me. I love Chicago. Chicago Dam. That's one of my biggest songs, Chicago Dam.
You got to show
now,
that way. I know all your stuff. I'm going to get up for
does.
You. Stay in touch. Stay in touch with us and everything.
I will.
Now, what agency you been going through?
We have our own agency. Oh, you got my number. Yeah. Just give us a call.
Okay, that'll be good. We'll call you and we'll hook you up here at the horseshoe.
Okay, I love
okay.
you.
Okay, love you too.
And thank you so,
thank you
so very much. Yes, it's my honor, privilege, and pleasure. And with your permission, I will text you each other's phone number because I don't know how you lost track of it anyway. But y'all back in touch now. So we'll see all of you at the horseshoe.
God is so good. I appreciate
it. God is good.
I appreciate you,
is.
Marshall, and everyone. Please go out and get my album on iTunes, Passion Flute.
All right.
Y'all heard it
all
for
right.
yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Bobby Humphrey, Passion Flute, at BobbyHumphrey.net. And we're going to go out
get
with
the
your music.
Thing, I'll autograph it.
That's right, that's
well,
right. And speaking of getting an autograph, go out and get The Last Man Standing by Marshall Thompson and make sure you catch his shows and bring your book so he can autograph your book. Go to shylights.info to find out all about his tours, and that's shylites.info. And you can keep up with Tribe on Twitter. Go to @TribeFamilyUS. Or I am Beverly Black, and you can find me at gumbo.me/gumbo for the soul. Gumbo for the Soul International is our parent company, and our studio is on blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. It was an honor and a privilege, Bobby Humphrey.
Thank
We're looking
you.
Forward to getting your Geniuses Common video, and I am
okay.
going to go out with your beautiful, beautiful music. I salute you, First Lady of Flute.
Thank
I salute you,
you
my brother from another, the Godfather, and we'll be back on the first week of April with Mr. Al Greer, radio DJ out of Chicago Extraordinaire. And until then, keep it soulful.
God bless and thank you.
And God bless you. And God bless you, Godfather. Love you much.
Love you.
Love
you. Love
you all.
Love you, Marshall.
Thank you. God bless you.
Love
all
you, Beverly. Right. Love
Hang
you,
in there.
George.
Hang in there.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Much
thank
love.
You. Much love. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
genius is common. My name is Lloyd Price. My genius is music education. I wrote the first, what they now known as rhythm and blues, or pop music. I wrote the first song, Lord and Miss Claudia. It's been recorded 178 times by the biggest rock stars in the world, and it just goes on and on and on. And my music education, through that song, allowed me to have my own record company, my own music company when I was in my 20s. And my genius is knowing how to do it. Okay. And I tried to educate others my entire career of that. You don't have to be insecure because you don't have an academic degree. All of us are geniuses about something. We just have to find out what it is. And it comes to you. You just have to act on it. Genius is coming. And this is Lloyd Price, and I'm known throughout the world as Mr. Personality. And we're all are geniuses. Why? Because it's coming.